Welcome to the Tax Sell Podcast, where tax sell investing is made easy. My name is Casey Dimon. I'm a tax sell veteran and expert. I'm the author of the Tax Sell Playbook, founder of the Tax Sell Academy, and I am your host right here on the Tax Sell Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's podcast episode. As a reminder, this is a completely free podcast brought to you through and because of the Tax Sell Academy. So if you are looking to learn more about investing in tax-defaulted real estate, make sure you check out our comprehensive step-by-step training platform at TaxSellAcademy.com. So, as I have shared many times before, one of your best bets to find better deals and make more money as a tax sell investor is to expand the markets that you invest in. If you only invest in one single area, you are going to run out of properties to choose from and you will cap your income. For some, maybe that's okay if you're part-time or you're only looking to make an extra $15,000 or $20,000 per year. But for those truly looking to grow, this episode is for you. Now, I've shared this story many a times, but when I first got to start in this business, I went to a few tax sales, did extremely well, I thought, until I realized I'd maxed out the potential in my local market. Went to one county over, then another, then went to another state and another. And every time I expanded markets, I learned how to do it better than before. While the basics might be similar, tax sell investing in one area is not going to be exactly the same as tax sell investing in another area. And this took me years to realize. Like many folks that I hear from, you will quickly learn things are different. And those differences can turn your newfound success into failure rather quickly if they're serious enough. So I wanted to record an episode for you today with a few things that you should do when it comes to investing in new areas. Despite what you think you know, you need to approach each one of these new areas differently. I learned this the hard way, so hopefully you do not have to. I generally start off by reviewing the previous tax sell auction results in that new area. And this is done for a number of different reasons, but before I begin the steps that I'm going to be discussing momentarily, which take more time, I want to ensure that I'm not wasting that time in an area that sells, you know, two properties every single year. There should be a sufficient quantity of properties to ensure that the area is worth my time. Past auction results will provide you with a good idea of how many properties have actually sold in that area, which might be substantially less than that current tax sell list, depending on how their redemptions work. In a lot of areas, when you look at a tax sell list, 90% of those properties will be redeemed up to the day of closing, and you're left just a few that get sold. Now, I also want to make sure that I can afford to invest there. If I've allocated $5,000 in a brand new area and everything is selling for $90,000, again, you don't want to waste your time there. And then lastly, you can generally gauge how profitable the area is simply by looking at the amounts paid for the properties based on that auction results list, compared to a very quick review of just random properties. You know, for the most part, if you understand the basics of research and how to value properties, you can come up with a ballpark value very quickly. So pick out a few properties on that list at random, get a ballpark value for them, and then determine whether or not that's profitable based on past results. If you do not take these steps initially, you're probably gonna waste quite a bit of time. The next thing to do, once you've decided that that is the area you want to invest in, is to study the tax sell laws. Go to Google and search for the latest tax sell laws for that state. Obviously, we all know that there's four different types of systems utilized. You have the deeds, redeemable deeds, lien, and the hybrid systems. But there are so many different technicalities amongst each one of these systems based on the state that it is in that you need to take the time to read through the state statutes, because that is going to be paramount to your success. Just because you do something one way in one state does not mean you'll do it the same way in another state, even if they utilize the same general system. This is where many people get themselves into trouble, myself included a long time ago. The laws are very much going to be the rules to the tax sell business. If you don't know the rules that you have to play by, you're going to eventually lose. The next one is to study local ordinances. And you can do this by reviewing the county or the city's ordinances on their website, by calling code enforcement and asking for their requirements, or even just calling any department at the city or the county and saying, hey, this is what I'm looking for. I want the ordinances. I want to know what my responsibilities are as a real estate owner in the area. And I'm sure any department will be happy to direct you to the right place. Now, I've got so many stories from past experiences about this one, but one I've told a couple of times, I bought a vacant lot inside the city limits of a northern city. I bought it in like October, November. It's a great lot, and I knew I'd do very well with it, but I was going to wait for the holidays to pass, and I was going to try to sell it. By January, I received a citation in the mail. I had failed to clear the sidewalks in front of my vacant lot of the snowfall. Listen, I'm from Florida. I've never dealt with snow on a regular basis, and I never heard that one before. Obviously, it makes sense. If you don't clear it, people gotta walk, you know, around your snow coverings into the road, and it's dangerous, all that good stuff. I get it. I just didn't know that I would have had to do that. I've also gotten other citations for weed violations for failing to mow my vacant lot. Again, that was the first for me. It was a learning experience for me. They taught me that different areas do things different ways, especially when it comes to properties inside of city limits where things tend to be a little more strict. So be sure you study and understand local ordinances and what your responsibilities will be. The next one is to study the local traditions and the way things are done in that area. And this can really run across the entire span of the business. For example, some areas traditionally use attorneys to close all their transactions. Others utilize title companies. Some areas require that the seller pay for certain expenses when you're closing transactions, while other areas, the buyer pays for those same things. Some areas require that certain forms be filed based on your transaction history with multiple county departments, while others don't need anything at all. You know, some areas have multiple tax bills every single year, while other areas just have one. Some areas have very high tax rates or very frequent special assessments. All these things are going to impact your investment. So take the time to get in tune with how the local area operates. The next one is to study that area. This is obviously a big one if you plan on investing somewhere you're not familiar. In the areas that I invest, I can tell you exactly where I would and where I would not buy real estate looking at a map, and I can tell you the reasons why. You should know the best areas for your objectives. You should know where all these schools are, especially the good school zones, right? The highly rated school zones. You should know where the hospitals are, where the shopping areas are, where the attractions, the lakes, the parks, the marketplaces, that kind of thing. Know where all of the new development is going. Know if something is planned for a section of town that's going to have a large impact, like a large distribution center or something like that. Study the map, study the area, and know everything possible about where you are investing. The next one is to study the market trends. And I'll give a story about this one. In my local market, we had a couple of massive subdivisions, talking about thousands of vacant lots, quarter acre lots, that sat stagnant for years, virtually no development. Those vacant lots had very, very low value for the longest time because there was such a supply of unwanted lots and such low demand, maybe $1,000, $2,000 if you could find somebody that would take it off your hands. Over the course of a couple of years, when building lots became a premium and they started running out of lots in the other parts of the county, development started taking place inside of these subdivisions, and the lots went from $1,000 or $2,000 to $20,000 or $30,000, and people were buying them left and right. Many people took advantage of this and they made boatloads of money simply because they tracked the trends. And you can too if you look at the previous sales histories in certain areas. Watch price increases, decreases, see which properties sell the fastest. Keep your pulse on the market, because when you do, opportunities will present themselves that many others that are new to the area will not see. The next one is to drive the area. And I usually do this in two different ways. I'll hop on to Google Maps, Google Street View, and I'll click around, essentially driving up and down every single major street virtually, right? If I'm investing in a city, I want to know where the downtown is. I want to know where every hotspot is, and I'm driving by all that stuff on Google Maps. I'll also toggle between older Google Street images from, say, 5-10 years ago, and I'll compare those images to the images of the most recent Google Street View, hopefully in the past year or so. This tells a big story about what is happening in those areas. And then, if you're able, something I highly suggest is to actually drive the streets physically. Since Google Street View misses some things, it can be outdated, or things just simply have changed rather recently. You need to get a feel for what is going on in the areas. Take a look at all the properties for sale in that area. Go to, you know, the different areas where the properties are very expensive, where the properties are very cheap. Compare these areas and see what's going on. Find out if there's a dying area or a thriving area. And the last tip I've got for you when it comes to investing in a new area is to talk to the locals. Now, I'm not the type of person just walk around passing out business cards hoping somebody will talk to me. But you can help create this in a more organic process. Go to things like open houses and talk to the agents operating those open houses. Go to restaurants. Start conversations with the restaurant staff. Talk to other auction attendees if it's an in-person auction. Learn about where people are from. Ask them about how things have changed. Ask them about investing in the area. Now, obviously, people have different opinions, so be sure that you verify what they say, but learning from locals is a tremendous, tremendous way to actually start understanding a new market in depth. Listen, investing out of area is extremely easy provided you take the right steps. Obviously, things are different in different areas. There is no doubt about that. But hopefully, this episode helps to put you on the right path when you decide it is time to start investing in other areas to hopefully increase your income. That's all I've got for you today. I truly hope this episode helps you out. If this episode or any of the episodes here on the Tax Sale Podcast have helped you out, please do me a huge, huge favor. Listen, we don't charge a listing and membership fee or anything like that for this podcast, but we do rely on Google reviews and the algorithms out there. So if you'll take the time to leave us a 5-star review or a positive feedback comment, it'll mean the world to us, and it might just change somebody else's life that takes the time to listen to this podcast and learns about this business because you took the time to leave that review or 5-star rating. And as always, if we can be of any additional help, make sure you check out our website at taxsellacademy.com. Hey, take care and make it a successful day. We'll see you next time right here on the Tax Sell Podcast. Bye-bye.